I guess we need Mr. Thomas to come up because he has worked a lot with Representative Bloom. And while I'm doing that, when I left, because I had to go give testimony, I didn't give our housekeeping rules. And one was we respectfully request all hats be removed. And if we're going to try not to use this clock, but if we find that the conversations is going a little long, we're going to start using the clock. So try to keep your testimony within 3 minutes. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
Madam Chairman, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Brian Thomas. I live in Lemoyne, which is in Hancock County, and I represent Maine Center for Coastal Fisheries, formerly Penobscot East, which is probably how most of you all know it. Last fall, Representative Bloom had contacted us and asked if we'd be willing to provide some input on an owner-operator bill, and so that's why I'm here before you this afternoon. I know there's been a lot of discussion about the two bills already, but I thought it'd be helpful just to quickly outline what is in LD 68. It has four objectives. The first, of course, is to create an owner-operator requirement. I think that's been very thoroughly discussed already, so I don't see any need to repeat any of that to the committee. The second aspect of LD 68 is to allow license holders who do not own a boat but have an existing business relationship with somebody under certain criteria to continue to fish. So when the idea of putting out a owner-operator requirement was discussed over the last several years, there were some issues and concerns raised, especially at Scallop Advisory Committee meetings. And that concern was, you know, what about those of us who've had these long-term business relationships, you know, are we just out? And so addressing that concern, what this bill does is it sets out three criteria that someone has to meet, a license holder has to meet, in order to use a non-owner-operator, a non-owned vessel. And first, they had to have that boat on their license for the last 3 years, so 2015, 16, and 17. Second, they had to have landings each of those years, because if they didn't have landings, there really wasn't much of a business relationship because they obviously weren't doing anything with it. And third, that same vessel has to be on the next year's license and all subsequent. So when that changes, that relationship is no longer extant, and therefore they would have to then meet the vessel ownership requirement of the law. The third thing is it provides a mechanism in code that allows the current license holder to renew their license even though they do not meet the vessel ownership requirement, but only to maintain eligibility to continue getting another license each year. Because right now, if you don't own a license, if you don't possess a license, you can't renew a license. So if you lose your license, you're out of the game. So this just is very explicit and puts it into statute that if you have a license, you can register for a license for the next year. If you don't list a boat that you are the owner of or you don't have that business relationship, you can't fish. But you keep the license so that you can just continue renewing it year to year. So essentially it doesn't kick you out of the game entirely. And the third major component of the bill is simply dealing with when the entry system would be in place, and that assumes that the law continues under its current status and the rulemaking authority remains as it is. Obviously, if that changes, then this portion of the bill would no longer be relevant. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions to the extent that I can.
Any questions for Mr. Thomas? Senator Patel.
Thank you, Senator. So I'm wondering if you can give us an idea of what the scope of this fishery is in terms of who would be affected by these various provisions for both license holders who don't own boats, vessel owners who don't have licenses, and just sort of the total size.
Sure. The data are hard to get with a lot of certainty. The department was very gracious and allowed me to access the vessel ownership database as well as the licensing database. And based on going through that and looking at license holders and is their name listed as the owner of their boat, and there are a lot of variations on those themes, as you might imagine, but based on that, about 80% of license holders are probably owner-operators. And so about 20% probably are not. And some of those, of course, may be latent licenses, and they, you know, haven't even considered actually going out and dragging. But that's for the scallop industry.
So just to follow up, it's hard to gauge how many people would fall into those criteria that you listed of having a license for the same, connected to the same boat for 3 years, had active landings, and have it be registered with the same boat. Just hard to tell.
Well, that wasn't something I was trying to access through looking at the data. I mean, every license holder has to list the boat on their license, so that information is available. I believe the department tracks landings by license holder, but that's a question that they're in a better place to answer. Whether that's all very easily accessible data is a whole different question, but I suspect the information is available, but that's the extent of my knowledge on it.
Any other questions? Representative Devin.
Madam Chair, thank you, Mr. Thomas, for coming down from Penobscot East. Will you be able to be here for the work session?
Yes, sir.
Would you be able to, you've heard questions that I've had about owner-operator and families. You've heard what Representative Hawk has said. You know what Representative Bloom presented. You know what Representative Kamega presented and what the commissioner stated. Could you see if you could knock around some ideas of how we might get to a way that we can keep these communities fishing as much as possible, but address the commissioner's concern on business relationships, whether they're familiar or not?
Yes, sir. And, you know, the family part of this, that's somewhat separate from grandfathering. The family relationship, that would be in code with the owner-operator portion. So the way the language reads for the lobster statute is you have to own the vessel and be the license holder. Or you have a license and you're fishing from the boat that is owned by a family member who also has a license. So as long as your family member is a license holder, then you can also fish on their boat and not own your own boat.
But, Mr. Thomas, aren't we talking a little bit different here with scallops? And in lobster, you have a parent who's got a boat and a lobster license, mm-hmm. and then they have a child that's fishing with them on their license. What we're talking about here is a family member who has a boat and doesn't have a scallop license, and then the other family member has a scallop license but doesn't have the boat. So it's a little bit different. Would you agree?
I agree. That's different, and that is not currently covered in the current statute.
So hopefully we can get through that and have some ideas at work session. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Representative Battle.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I'm going back to my earlier question. Maybe you might know that. Is there a specific reason why if they had the license for scallop and they had the license for urchining and they had the gear for both, why they couldn't go out, make one trip of it, go out, scallop for a while, urchin for a while, and bring them both in?
No, sir, if the commissioner can't answer that question, I certainly can't. I'm sorry.
Any further questions? Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Evidently not. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of the bill? Come right up, sir.